This is Active Lehigh Valley on 88.1 WDIY, Lehigh Valley Public Radio.
Welcome to Active Lehigh Valley, generously supported by St. Luke's University Health Network. And our aim is to encourage listeners to be happy, healthy, and active. I'm your host, Mike Dravenstadt, and in the WDIY studios today are Jared Mast, Executive Director of the Greater Easton Development Partnership, and Gabe Lloyd, Principal at Longtail, the race management company that produces the Easton Twilight Criterium that we will be talking about today. Jared and Gabe, welcome to WDIY and Active Lehigh Valley.
Thank you, Michael.
So what is the Easton Twilight Criterium, and when is it happening this spring?
The Easton Twilight Criterium is a bike race that takes place on the city streets of downtown Easton. Really fun, exciting, fast-paced race in an urban setting. For folks that come in to spectate, it's a party around the course. And then for the racers that are putting on the show, we have everything from juniors to amateurs up to pro teams that are both national and international. Super exciting event, May 25th of this year. It's always on Memorial Day weekend because it attaches to another race, the Tour of Somerville, on Memorial Day itself.
Yeah, Saturday, May 25th is when we're racing. It's going to be great all day long. We sort of butt into the end of the Easton Farmers Market, which is a traditional staple in Easton. So we begin our race programming at 1:15, but we actually have some other community activities before that even. So a lot of opportunities throughout the day for everybody on Saturday, May 25th.
And I'm assuming, given the name, it does go into the evening?
It sure does. Yeah. We race at night, which is very exciting. It's an extra challenge for athletes for sure, but it makes spectating really fun because the party just keeps going.
Yeah. Under twilight, you know, we start with the pro women and then it moves into the pro men field. And, you know, we're wrapping up a little after 9 o'clock. The excitement and the party ramps up over the course of the day. The restaurants on the course, other kind of amenities for spectators along the course definitely pick up as the races approach the pro fields and as the speeds get faster. Just a lot of excitement kind of in a crescendo that makes a twilight event really fun.
And what makes a criterium distinct from other bicycle races, whether they're longer road races or track races?
Crit is a short course where we do multiple laps over and over and over again. So you have a start-finish line where everybody begins and finishes, but you come through that same point up to, for the pros, they'll come through about 35 times. Other riders will come through 12 to 20 times. Either way, it creates this really interesting dynamic where you're hitting the same turns and then the climb on Northampton multiple times over. And so it sort of creates this buildup of fatigue in the riders in a different way. But from a spectating standpoint, you always get to see the action. You're never more than 60 seconds away from seeing somebody again, which is really fun.
Well, I've watched coverage on TV of the Tour de France, and you see all these fans waiting and zoom, you know, the cyclists go by and then they're gone, right?
Yeah, so I think traditional stage races and European races are a little anticlimactic in that way that, you know, you do kind of post up and it passes you by unless you're on the finishing circuit. Crits are all finishing circuits, so you're in the action for the full race. You get to see the race dynamics as they're playing out without the aid of TV or motorbike. It's a really exciting, I think, distinctly American way of watching racing, and it really does lend itself well to a party on the course. You know, it's not extended across multiple municipalities. It's not a single pass over the course of the day. It's, as Gabe said, you know, a spectator will be able to see the pro field pass 35 times and, you know, see the interactions of riders and teams over the course of the race.
So how long is the course in downtown and what streets is it on?
It's 0.8 miles. We start on Northampton and then the riders go into Center Square and then they'll make a left onto 3rd, then a left onto Ferry, a right onto Sitgraves, down the hill and through the Sitgraves chute that we like to call it, onto Larry Holmes, which is a sharp left, down Larry Holmes through where the Easton Farmers Market generally is stationed, and then another left onto Northampton, which is a false flat climb, which will get them back to the start-finish line.
Okay, so a lot of places downtown, like Jared was saying, to watch this, to spectate. It sounds like a lot of interesting kind of turns and angles and areas of the course that are interesting.
Yeah, I would say that Easton has a interesting and technical course. Sometimes you have what are called four corner crits on a flat course, which is in some ways easy to manage, easy to ride, but not as interesting from a rider perspective and not always as interesting from a spectator perspective. You know, there's a little topography, so the Sitgreaves chute, you know, provides a downhill with a technical left turn, as Gabe said, and then the uphill in Northampton also provides an interesting piece of the race that over the course of 30 laps, you know, begins to take its toll.
So how did the planets align to bring this to Easton? What's the kind of history of this coming to Easton, and how do you make this work?
Yeah. So there were conversations with local cyclists, some of them former pro cyclists. Bill Elston's a kind of fixture in the community, Nat Amato, Joe Whitman, some riders in our circle that had brought forward some ideas. How do we bring a bike race to Easton? You know, Bicycling Magazine eventually located in downtown Easton. And we had a proposal come forward to attach ourselves to the Tour of Somerville. So Tour of Somerville is one of the longest running bike races in the country. I think it's in the Bike Race Hall of Fame. Mm-hmm. Always on Memorial Day weekend, is circled on the calendar for a lot of riders because of its prestige and historic nature. So when that Saturday became open to attach ourselves to an existing race, a decent purse, we felt it was the right time to actually pull the trigger. So we had a lot of support from the city of Easton, from some of our initial sponsors. And, you know, we made a push. It was towards the tail end of COVID. So the first race was actually in September and not on Memorial Day weekend. But then going into 2022, we landed back on the Memorial Day weekend with Tour of Somerville.
And who are some of the cyclists that participate, some of the different classifications that you were mentioning?
We are actually the Pennsylvania State Criterium Championships. So we offer a state championship award to the first Pennsylvania resident in both the men's and women's fields for USA Cycling categories. USA Cycling has this whole hierarchy that is meant to distinguish experience levels in the sport. Category 5 and 4 are the introductory levels, and then category 1 is your most experienced, quote-unquote, amateur level of cycling. So we award a state championship to each of those categories for men and women throughout the day. So we really do cover the full spectrum of athletes. Now, in the pro race itself, we have a number of top talents coming into town. We have riders from Los Angeles, Miami, Florida, Austin, Texas, Denver, Colorado, Phoenix, Arizona, Chicago, Illinois. We have just from everywhere coming down, a number of riders from New England, including Boston and Burlington, Vermont. So it really does attract an interesting cross-section of our sport into Easton for the Saturday event.
So it sounds like, you know, like you said, people from around the country, like this is a, you know, legit national caliber race that people want to come prove themselves on this course.
Yeah, I mean, not to get too fine grain on it, but I'm really proud of the work that our team at Longtail Productions have done this year. As far as athlete recruitment is concerned, we've attracted what I would consider the best field that we've had to date so far. We have this rider in particular, Justin Williams, owns a few programs out of Los Angeles in Miami. His brother Corey is attending, Ty Magner is attending, and then on the women's field, we'll have Kendall Ryan and Sky and Samantha Schneider, in addition to L.A. Sweat from Kelly Samuelson and that whole crew that's been very supportive of our program from the beginning. So I think that from a spectator standpoint, this is a really a good year to come and watch. You're going to see the best of the best coming to town. I actually just forgot, too, that we have 7 riders from New Zealand coming who are very good. We have 6 riders from Germany coming in who are national champions on the track and the road. So, yeah, I'm very excited for this year's athletic performances.
Well, it sounds like a good Saturday to be in Easton. And how many races over the course of the day will there be on the course?
There's a lot of great activities this year. We start with a ride to the race, which will start and finish at the Easton Public Market. That'll be in the morning before the course is actually officially open, but it's a great opportunity for anybody who likes to ride to join us. And there will be a number of pros who will meet us at the finish line of that event just to sort of mix and mingle. You can ask them questions and figure out what it's like to be a pro rider. And then after that, we get on course. We have our family fun ride, and then we move right
that's
in.
That's open to anyone.
That is open to anyone, and that's a free ride.
Yeah,
that's a free ride. So
they ride the same course that the The pros are riding.
Exactly. Cool. The exact same course. You can actually, we had a number of adaptive athletes participate last year as well, which is really cool to see. So you can have any bike, any make, any model, come on out, hang out with us, and then we'll progress on through. But the number of events, my goodness, we have
seven, I would guess.
Seven. Yeah. Somewhere in there. We extended our course time this year, thanks to the generosity of the Easton Public Market. So, or the
Farmer's Market.
The Easton Farmer's Market. So, we're looking forward to a full day of racing.
Yeah, I mean, I think the two rides to kick off the day, the ride to the race is a way of anybody getting to Easton on any kind of bike and, you know, whether and getting there on roads or on the DNL and hanging out in the plaza behind the public market. There's information on our website about that, EastonTwilightCrit.com. The community ride on the course is an awesome way to, I think, recreate on city streets. You see it across the world, really, where city streets are closed down from traffic. And this is the one time of year that it happens in Easton. I don't think that it happens anywhere else in Lehigh Valley where traffic is closed off and people can just ride without fear of traffic friction or whatever you want to call it. And it's a full hour. So 1:15 to 2:15, we invite folks to come out. We'll have some of our partners on the course, Community Bike Works, other student groups that are interested in getting out there on bikes with kids. But also adults, people warming up, and it's just a really cool way to kind of kick off the day. And then we ramp up from novice racers through juniors all the way up through masters and eventually to the pro races at the end of the day.
So, again, for people that aren't racing, they can ride to the race. They can do the family ride as well ahead of time. Then if they stay to spectate, what's that experience like? You know, what's it like to spectate? What involvement do the spectators have in terms of urging the racers on?
Yeah, so there's different ways to spectate and, you know, different ways to just quote unquote post up on the fence. All the fence is just open, so you can get to the fence and just lean over and watch 10 minutes of a race or watch a full race. Our restaurants also play along with us here for this event. You know, you could get a reservation or if a table's available, sit at Third and Ferry or sit at Cabinet, watch the race with a hospitality component attached to it. We also have a VIP section, which we're opening up some tickets to, which will be through the website as well. That's a tented area at start finish. Really cool way to see the race dynamics and also be next to the announcers. Seta Luna has a great corner right next to the Sitgreaves chute where we have secondary sound. So you can actually hear the announcing somewhere other than start finish. And there'll be some other activities down there this year. Working with some partners on and some ideas around sound and video. And then there's kind of the backside of the course, which is, you know, Scott Park and different grassy areas where people picnic. You can kind of picnic and then, you know, lean into the race when you want to or just picnic. So, you know, I think for that reason, this race is a favorite event for a lot of people in Easton, but for all kinds of different reasons. You can be right up next to the action and kind of the narrower sections of the course, or you can be in a chiller area and just hanging out.
Well, plus it sounds like you can move around. Mm-hmm. You can be on Northampton Street where there's the grade. You can be at a sharp turn and see how the racers navigate.
Yeah, it's a free public sporting event, really. So you can come in for free. There's no ticket charge at all. We hope that you all come out and hang out anywhere you want and then grab a drink from our local restaurant. I will say our schedule that we designed is meant to crescendo at that golden hour where we really have this pivot. We run all these state championship events for the quote-unquote amateur races, but then we have this almost a schedule break where we introduce a 1 mile dash run event. Then we have this amazing wheelie competition. That's this really cool way of introducing another aspect of cycling. It's an event that we've run in the past at other races, and it's probably one of the things that the pro athletes really appreciate a lot because the pros, they're in every city and every state doing these things over and over. And seeing a wheelie competition that truly embraces that aspect of cycling is really rare. I always get messages after these races of like, man, that's so cool you do that. I'm really appreciative that we see that here. So I think that you should also like plan that on your day. Come out at like 6 o'clock, see the run, see the wheelie, and then you get to see these amazing pro athletes from around the country and around the world race on the streets of Easton.
That's great. Well, we're going to take a short break here at Active Lehigh Valley and return with Jared and Gabe.
Connect to WDIY with our streaming app. Download for free from the Apple or Google Store and enjoy the great music, news, and programs that you love on the go. The easy-to-use app is where you can listen to WDIY live or your favorite music shows on demand with our two-week archive feature. Download and share the WDIY app with your friends and family and introduce them to Many Choices, Real Voices.
WDIY offers Many Choices and Real Voices.
This is Marcy Lightwood. Local news, weather, and traffic is provided by the WDIY news team during Morning Edition and All Things Considered Monday through Friday. We also bring you news and entertainment Saturday and Sunday with Weekend Edition.
WDIY is the Lehigh Valley's local source for NPR news, public affairs, and diverse music at 88.1 FM and streaming on WDIY.org.
Welcome back to Active Lehigh Valley, generously supported by St. Luke's University Health Network. I'm your host, Mike Drabenstadt, and we're here with Jared Mast from the Greater Easton Development Partnership and Gabe Lloyd, a principal at Long Tail, and we are talking about the Easton Twilight Criterion. We're just talking about some of the events over the course of the day and how people can spectate and have a good time down there. What does the energy of the spectators do for a race like this as opposed to a road race where you might be going through a village or town very sporadically and then have miles and miles of quiet?
Oh, it's electrifying as an athlete. I mean, I raced for 10 years at the Category 1 level, which is not quite pro, basically. But, you know, I was still in the van going to all these races around the country. And whenever you had a race that actually had people on the fence ringing cowbells, just screaming at you, man, it made you go that much faster. I mean, it made everybody else go that much faster, though, too. So I will say the feedback from athletes has been resoundingly positive, that this crowd in Easton in particular is quite lively and really, really cool.
Yeah, I think Easton knows how to throw a party. And so part of it is, you know, the spectators themselves having fun, obviously. But as I grew up playing basketball more than riding bikes, and playing in an empty gym is pretty terrible for a game. Same thing for a bike race. You know, I think on a criterium course, you know, when you're riding through a small city and nobody's out cheering you on, at least at the start finish, it begins to get painful in a different way, I think. So the other thing that I think is interesting from a fan perspective and helps animate the race are these things called preams. And before we kicked off the Easton Twilight Criterium, I'd never heard of this. It doesn't exist in you know, you brought up the Tour de France or other tours or stage races, but you can have these impromptu prizes for certain laps. And if you're at the start finish area, you're at Seta Luna, you can hear the announcers announce a preem. So this happened last year in the women's field. Two business owners came together. They said, let's put up $750 for a lap prize. And the announcers announce it as the ladies are coming through. The winner of the next lap wins $750, and they didn't know it was coming. And so it adds a randomness and a lot of fun from my perspective, maybe not for the riders themselves, to the race. And if you're in tune with the preems and if you're actually supporting them as a spectator, I mean, we will go around and you know, literally go around with a bucket if folks want to throw in for a preem. It's a way for the general public and spectators to support the riders. And if we get to a certain point, we'll then put that preem out. And Gabe, as the announcer with our other announcer, will kind of animate the race in that way.
Yeah, we have a lot of fun as commentators to affect the race. But preems are really interesting. If you're not familiar with it, it's a prize within the race that has no effect on the actual final standings of the race other than the fatigue of the rider. So if a rider wins a preem and they finish in 10th place, at the end of the day, they still finish in 10th place. But
with a little extra money in his pocket.
Yeah. Exactly. Right. Yeah. And I think it's a great opportunity. There's no other sport, really, where you can directly affect the outcome of it in this way, right? Where you can't go to a Yankees game or a Phillies game, I should say, in this instance, and throw $20 at the players to then do something wacky, right? Like, this is a cool opportunity to give me $20 so that I can give it to the riders really quick, and it will change the outcome of the event.
Well, and the riders need to make a strategic decision. Do I go for this little bit of money right here, or do I risk expending a little bit more energy than I want to right now for what might happen later in the race, right?
Exactly.
Yeah, for the pro teams, a $750 preem might cover their travel, and then anything else they get beyond that is actual winning. So, you know, a lot of these teams are not highly sponsored, highly invested in, and the preems do matter. The purse does matter. It's not just about the podium pride. It's also the money is part of the calculation of either going for a preem or setting up your top sprinter for finishing sprint or for a podium.
So outside of the preems, what strategies might you see as a spectator that are maybe unique to a criterium event like this?
I like to break races into thirds. Your first third of the event is usually full gas just to try to separate the wheat from the chaff, as they say. I try to get rid of riders who maybe are strong but perhaps not possess the technical abilities to get through the course smoothly. Smooth is fast in a crit. Right? Oftentimes you can see a very strong rider struggle with the technical aspects of getting through a turn without using their brakes. If you can get rid of those riders early, makes your later race easy. Middle third of the race, you get into sort of a reset period, but it's also a chance for breakaways to get established. When a breakaway is a small group separated from the rest of the field. They're still racing in the same event, but the breakaway is now a smaller group. It's harder in the breakaway because you don't have this aerodynamic benefit of the peloton overall, but you've reduced the number of people you have to watch, and it can be a little bit easier in that it's a more even rotation. Think of it like where you're out for a run and you have to do like 30-second sprints and then recover and then do a 30-second sprint again. Sometimes in a bike race, every single lap can be like that, whereas when you're in the breakaway, it just becomes this very steady state. So you have to find that balance. If you move into the final third of the race, that's when everything ratchets up. Everybody who's been waiting, teams come together. They're trying to protect their sprinters, and speeds will just exponentially increase. It gets really exciting. You go from an average of like 27-ish miles per hour in the pro fields. You start to ratchet closer to 30, which doesn't sound like a lot, but trust me, it's a lot. And it gets really exciting.
Well, they're exceeding the speed limits on Easton Street, right?
Yeah, that's true, actually.
Good thing they're closed.
We have to shut down the speed cameras.
Yeah. Speaking of Easton, why is Easton a good fit for this?
You know, I think Easton in general has been trying to increase its overall bicycle quotient over the last, I would say, 5 or so years. You know, working with Community Bike Works, a youth serving organization centered around life lessons through bikes, I think, is their core mission. You know, with Easton Landing Bicycling Magazine for their new headquarters after Hearst purchased Rodale.
Which is right downtown.
Right. Yep, they're in downtown across from City Hall. We have a growing bike community in Easton that wants these kinds of events. And so, yeah, I think there was a push to create a signature event around cycling. We don't have an arena. We don't have a baseball stadium, but we do have city streets that lend themselves well to a criterium. So I think what specifically about Easton for the bike race makes it a good fit is we have a downtown course that's really interesting, that's technical, is populated with all kinds of restaurants that already do outside dining. And we have a community that likes to hang out, likes to party, supports our events, especially when they support a good cause. In this case, we're building towards this event, hopefully supporting not just the operating expenses itself, but supporting the organization that puts it on, which is the Greater Easton Development Partnership. Yeah, so I think a celebration of sport, but in a celebratory atmosphere is why this works in Easton.
I think there's also something about Easton's size and being a little more intimate where this is more than a spectator sport. Mm-hmm. People can come out and do the community ride. They can, you know, do the wheelie competition and actually take part and get involved more than just kind of staying back and watching these professionals.
So it's not just an event that is targeted at professionals or bike racers or cyclists even. It does embrace other aspects of the community, families, youth, runners. We had a skateboard set up in front of Five and Dime last year. I think we're going to try and include more skateboarders this year. The other thing I'd say is that what makes this possible for Easton is the support of our sponsors. You know, I don't think we could do this unless you have a Hindle Power stepping up in a significant way as a local business saying, I want this to happen and I'm going to write a check to make it happen. Without the presenting sponsorship of LVHN, without the sponsorship of Crayola and Beeler, which, you know, local businesses that want their name out there but also have an affinity for sport, an affinity for cycling, affinity for an active Lehigh Valley. And if other cities are trying to pull this off and think it can happen with bike sponsorship or bike industry sponsorship, it's probably not going to happen. You have to have the support of your local corporate community. It's not a cheap event to put on. You know, just the fencing itself approaches $10,000. So you need local corporate support, and we're lucky to have that.
So we have a lot of spectators coming to the race. We have families coming down to watch their neighbors ride, watch these professionals ride. They take a look at this and say, I really want to start riding more. You know, how does someone kind of take that inkling, either you know, maybe without a whole lot of experience or maybe as a hobbyist and get a little more active? I know both of you are active bike riders. Kind of what's that journey look like for people?
Oh, man, there's a lot of ways we could both answer this one, I think, right?
Yeah, I mean, for me, I always rode bikes growing up and, you know, living in other places and used it more as a commuting vehicle in my 20s and early 30s. For me, you know, I got to a point where I wasn't playing basketball anymore and I needed an alternative outlet for health and fitness and got involved with cycling, lost 40 pounds, my blood pressure dropped, I think, which was doctor's orders, basically. So I think cycling can be a path towards fitness and health and heart health, which is something we want to talk about more this year. But it's also fun and mental health and social. How do you get started? You just get on a bike and go as far as you feel comfortable and in the environment that you feel comfortable. We have a lot of trails and paths. The DNL is a great resource that touches a lot of our communities. You can start with that and then find your path from there, you know, whether it's mountain biking or road cycling or gravel. You don't have to start as a specialist. You just have to get on any kind of bike as long as it has brakes and grab a helmet and go. And if it's a couple of loops around your neighborhood to start, it's a start. Then you can start to plug into local communities of cyclists, which tend to congregate around bike shops and cycling events. You know, Gabe is involved or has been involved. I'll let him speak about his involvement at the Velodrome. And so that is, I would say, one of the centers of cycling in the Lehigh Valley. There are different rides like the Derby that start there that aren't for everyone. But there's also the Donut Derby and other events that yeah.
Yeah, I mean, just quickly, I got into cycling from almost mental stuff. Like, I graduated from undergrad and I just felt really lost. I missed the structure of stuff. I wasn't finding a good job or whatever. And cycling for me, I saw this guy, Lance Armstrong, winning races on TV. And I didn't know much about cycling other than this guy was doing it. And I took some money that I'd gotten from my graduation and bought a good enough bike to get going. And I really thrived on the structure of training. I turned out to be pretty good at it, and I just sort of kept going. And I actually moved to the Lehigh Valley because of the racing scene. I moved here because of the Velodrome. I would not be here if it were not for cycling and not for the Velodrome. And I met my wife here, and we just set down roots after a while because we started working in the sport and through active lifestyle production stuff. So cycling can take on a number of different forms. I think that it's really just, if you enjoy it, there's a number of ways of getting there in the Lehigh Valley in particular.
I think that's something that Jared said, like a good enough bike. I think that some people might see that as a barrier. Like you see, you know, these bicycles for $3,000, $4,000, or $5,000, thinking I can't afford that.
Yeah.
But as long as it's good enough and safe, mm-hmm. You got to start somewhere, right?
Yeah, I produce an event in Emmaus in the fall called Fifth Street Cross, and it is this thing where people can bring any bike into any condition and just give it a shot. And it's really amazing to see the stuff that comes out of the woodwork or out of the garage, I should say. I mean, some stuff I'm like, I don't know if it can make it, but like in the same sense, I'm like, I don't care. Like, at least you're here, right? At least you're giving it a shot, because that's the first step. Right. And we have some guys, the guy who won the series this year, I mean, he'd been coming out for 5 years and now Jake is like the champion of Fifth Street and he's getting like a custom bike from a local Lehigh Valley builder now. Right. He went from a guy who was like literally trash picking his frame to now getting a custom frame made by one of the country's most revered custom frame builders, yeah. Adam Hoff. So,
yeah, I mean, the bike shops might not want to hear this strategy, but between Craigslist and Facebook Marketplace, you can scout out a decent bike in your size. You might want to kind of do some research on what your size is based on just kind of typical height and inseam. Take it to a local shop, get it tuned up, and you could be on a decent bike for less than $500 or in some cases less than $200, depending on what you're really looking for. The tune-up, depending on how much needs to be tuned, can be the bulk of that $200 or $500.
But it's well worth it, man. I mean, you're paying for skill set. These guys are wrenching on bikes with equipment that far exceeds the value of your bike, right? Like, it's worth going to any number of the shops in the Lehigh Valley, I don't know if we can name drop here, but like there's a lot of really good shops here. Like, go check it out, Google it, go to your neighborhood bike shop, and it's well worth the investment.
And the important thing is that you just start doing it.
Yeah.
Right. So how can listeners find out more about the Easton Twilight Criterium, website and social media?
We are at eastontwilightcrit.com and on Instagram at eastontwilightcrit and on Facebook at eastontwilightcrit.
Great. Jared and Gabe, thanks for joining us here at WDIY.
Thank you for having us. It's been a pleasure.
Thanks for having us, Michael.
I'm Mike Dravenstadt, and this is Active Lehigh Valley.
If you enjoyed this program, please go to wdiy.org or the WDIY app to share or become a WDIY member.